get you through the night. It's all right. It's all right. Get your money all you like. It's all right. It's all right. Don't need a song to get you down with. Oh no. Oh no. Whatever gets you through your life.
Yeah, you know what time it is? We can let down our hair. The moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Abandon all hope.
Batty going to give you something to drink. That's right. In the studio with Hardwood Forrest Connor, my producer, investigator Shelley Wright from Wright's Coin Shop. Shelley, often the target of a great deal of attention and harassment. But that's what's so great. You know, you can listen to this program, and hopefully we can sort of slip out the back door, but you always know where to find Shelley Wright. You can just roll up there in that big white van full of kitties and puppies, and you'll come out there, won't you, Shelley? And you'll check them out just before you get shoved into the back.
You'll pet the kitty.
Yeah, yeah, pet the kitties. Right, Shelley? Has this happened yet? Has the big roll? You've said there's been a big white fan that's rolled up a few times now, right?
Yep. All because of you.
Have we manifested this? What is it like just to hang out, typical day there at Wright's Coin Shop?
Phone rings a lot. A lot of people walk in, walk out with a lot of golden coins. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of questions about what they should do and where they should put their money. Everybody has different circumstances, and so we try to tailor their circumstances with what they're trying to accomplish. And we do that.
Mm-hmm. And as you were saying earlier in the program, it's not just about gold and silver.
We have collector coins, and we have supplies, and a lot of people who maybe want to not be collectors but want to invest don't want to put it in just gold and silver bullion, and maybe they want to put it in collector coins and key coins. So we do that too. We take care of everybody.
And of course, even if somebody is not lucky enough to be able to come here and visit you in person, and you guys are located on Sweeten Creek Road.
Yes.
What's the phone number that people can call to reach you?
828-298-5402.
Mm-hmm. That's 828-298-5402. Just ask for Shelley Wright. Do you guys have anything in your shop related to Smurfs?
No.
Really?
No.
There's not like a collectible Smurf coin?
No. Well, not that I'm aware of. Not that we would sell or buy.
Really? You wouldn't buy a Smurf coin?
Maybe if it was 999 silver.
What's the most ridiculous valuable coin you've seen?
The most ridiculous valuable?
Yeah,
oh,
is there some kind of silly, stupid little Mickey Mouse coin or something like that that's worth a fortune?
Well, there have been Mickey Mouse rounds. It's not really a coin because the mint didn't put it out. It's not a legal tender coin, but there are all kinds of things like that put out. Racing things.
So let me ask you this. You know how you're watching TV late at night and you'll see some infomercial and they'll say, "We've created this collector's coin."
Oh, my God.
It's only $9.99.
Don't fall for it. Whatever you do, don't fall for it.
$9.95.
Oh, well, Forrest just handed me a nice piece of silver. But those things you should just avoid at all
costs. Just avoid them, please.
So Forrest just handed me, is this called a round?
It's a bar.
This is a bar.
What is a round? Is that just a
coin? It's round.
Okay, so like a round is round. So this is a bar. The 1 ounce silver bullet. And
my old high school nickname.
This is a good piece right here that Forrest has in his wallet.
Mm-hmm, it's a 1 ounce silver bar.
How much is this worth?
$30 and change.
So all you have to do is mug Forrest, and he's probably got his
good luck.
Pants filled with these things, don't you, Forrest?
I don't know. I always like to say I've got my silver bullet with me just in case stuff goes down.
I'm going to melt this down.
I had bullets in my desk, and they toned those bars nicely.
Have you ever seen a silver bullet, a real silver bullet?
No, yes.
You know, Shelley, I just had a brilliant idea.
What?
We're about to go to Transylvania.
Yes.
We have all these people who are going with us. There's like 40 of us total. And they're all going to be looking for some memento, right? And they're going to buy things when they're there. But what if you guys at Wright's Coin Shop actually created some souvenir silver bullets that you could sell? Only available to the people who go to Transylvania with us.
Oh, my gosh.
I bet everybody would buy
a silver. That would be fun.
Yeah.
That would be.
Talk to the team there at Wright's Coin Shop, and let's see if we can make this happen. Sign me up. I'll buy the first one. And I will actually load it, and and I will shoot men with it. Well, here's the reason I bring up Smurfs. We have a story here. From, I guess it's called Tremonton, Utah, about a kid's party. And it was a birthday party. And the father there, who was going to play the Smurfs, he put in what is supposed to be, it says here, a rented copy of the Smurfs from a red box kiosk. Loaded the disc into his laptop, turned on a projector for the kids.
So this really, where this is going.
I was going to say the same thing.
And it was boom, chicka-bow, wow. Yeah.
Papa just, Smurf and Smurf Ed.
I know. I mean, now, I've seen this sort of thing happen before. Were you there when we were at Grove Park one night, Forrest? You've heard this story if you weren't there. One night, I was at the Grove Park Inn with a group of media, and they were covering our investigation of the Pink Lady. And one of our investigators was putting some video of our investigation on screen. And for about a good 10 seconds, there appeared night vision porn.
Note to self, always use fresh tape.
And the whole room just went dead silent. And then, you know, the investigator fumbled around and fast-forwarded this, that, and now we get to the footage. And nobody mentioned it, like they just hadn't seen it. And everybody saw it. So this sort of thing happens. What I can say about the father, and, you know, forgive me if I'm going too far, but I've always thought, you know, really, there's kind of a fine line between porno and Smurfs. Because they all look like they're wearing big condoms on their heads. Don't they really?
Okay, well, yeah.
They all look like they're wearing, you know, I don't need to go into detail. And, you know, there's this one female Smurf, Smurfette, and all the guy Smurfs. You can imagine what happens after dinner time in Smurf Village. There's only one female with all these males. She must be she's like the queen bee here. She produces all the Smurfs.
Well, there's also Fandy Smurf. You have to be sort of equal.
Well, maybe he doesn't participate as much. They live in a mushroom village. There is something kind of porny about Smurfs in my filthy mind. Does anybody disagree with that?
No, not at all.
Okay. So, says here, authorities got involved because that one of the parents complained about this. Police actually came, and police said the porn did not appear to be on the red box disc. This must have been on the laptop. And they are not pursuing charges because they say it was apparently an accident, so on and so forth. But that's, you know, Huffington Post, porn smurf story. That's pretty good. Pretty good way to kick off our Dark 30 tonight. What's next on the agenda? How about a story from West Virginia? Headline, the bottom rocket. Says here, right now, a West Virginia... And, you know, I love West Virginia. I've been there a few times. They're good people up there. But they're very bored. They really are. Unless Mothman happens to be flying around, which happens once in a while. You know, in fact, I'll just say this as a side note. Last year, before I get into this story, I went to West Virginia to shoot a program for a major TV network. Some of you probably saw it, and you know what I'm talking about. We were in a very, very small kind of podunk West Virginia town. And, in fact, a lot of people would say, well, what isn't, right? But anyway, there was this one kind of, I don't know if you call it a steakhouse, but there was this one restaurant in town that was the only place where there was kind of life buzzing around at night, especially on the weekend. And I went there. I had a long day. I just wanted to get some food in my belly and go back to the hotel room and go to sleep. I went to this, I think it was a Friday night, this restaurant, and it looked like prom night there. There were just droves, lines of beautiful women, and they were just dressed in the sluttiest little outfits, just little short skirts and pumps, and I mean, and the guys around, they were just typical West Virginia guys, but droves of women like this, and it made me realize that, man, when the economy gets slow, the women out there, they kick the competition in to full speed. So there's definitely a lot of activity that happens in West Virginia that people kind of amuse themselves with. When we come back from this break, I will tell you what the bottom rocket is. And then also another story about we'll call it a bomb scare that reminds me of something that Forrest did one time. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the Dark 30 Hour. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
And it starts sometime around midnight. Sitting on porches, thinking how things used to be. Dark night, it's a dark night. The neighborhood was changing. Stranger.
Mark 30 Hour. And I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the hour when you should turn off the radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous and controversial material. Not for the kiddies. Not for the easily offended. Consider that your warning. But, hey, it's real news. So far as we know, somebody has to report it. It's incumbent upon ourselves. And brought to you in large part by a handful of companies that have the cojones, like the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator Company. Go to sunshinesimple.com. I mentioned earlier in the show, we have one unit that I use at my house. It's got some scratches on the case. And so we're going to offer it at a discount just for the scratches. Your opportunity to get a special deal, a special hookup. If you are in the Asheville, kind of sort of Asheville driving area, maybe you can pick it up. Maybe we can deliver it. I don't know. But if you're interested, go to sunshinesimple.com and email me and let me know. The Bottom Rocket from West Virginia. A West Virginia college student is suing his fraternity. He's alleging, and by the way, you know, to sue a fraternity, that takes a lot, you would think, right? Because frats in college do all kinds of crazy stuff. Alleging he fell off a deck when a drunken frat brother fired a bottle rocket out of his behind. The young man alleges the other man's bottle rocket stunt startled him. He jumped back and fell. And the lawsuit states, quote, firing bottle rockets out of one's, I don't even want to use the word that they use in the legal wording, but yes, out of the behind, constitutes an ultra-hazardous activity, end quote. I'd say that's more hazardous for the guy who does it. What did his behind look like after that? I have seen people fire bottle rockets at each other, but never that way. By the way, the ghost has returned.
I see that.
You might even be able to hear it. Yeah, hear his ecto field is buzzing down the hallway. Yeah, he's one of the late night cleaning guys here. But too bad, because if that weren't the case, I would have seen a full-bodied apparition move down the hallway. Kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You remember Forrest, we used to have these big parties at my house around July 4th. I mean, huge, crazy,
yes.
Insane parties.
Oh, yeah.
And some people would shoot bottle rockets out at each other. You know?
Like Roman candles and bottle rockets.
Yeah. I've seen people get pretty messed up, but never out of one's behind. See, we have some kind of class.
We had standards.
Yeah, exactly. So here's the story that I said kind of reminded me of you a little bit, Forrest. I must confess, I haven't read the entire thing.
Okay. Just you saw the headlines. Oh, Forrest.
Yeah, that's all it was. Headline, bing, you know, light bulb went off. I remember one time when you and I were going to fly down to, I think it was Miami, and get on a cruise ship. And it might have been the A&E cruise we did for the A&E TV channel with
right.
Helen Preston, which was a really fun time. That was a cool cruise. Was that the time we got really sunburned?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that was the one, wasn't it? Yeah. So, anyway, we went to the Asheville airport, and we're sitting there in this, you know, it's always kind of tense at airports nowadays. You got to be careful what you say, what you do, you know. So we're sitting there about to board the plane, and we're already concerned about delays and things that might screw us up, because the last thing you want to do is miss the cruise ship, you know.
Right.
So we were sitting there waiting for, waiting to embark. I'm messing around on my cell phone or something. Forrest got up, went to the bathroom. Forrest came back from the bathroom, walks up to me and says, "Man, I just dropped a bomb in there." Do you remember that, Forrest?
I don't.
And all I heard was, "Drop a bomb," come out of your mouth. in the airport. Now, that's everybody knows you don't say the word bomb in the airport.
Right.
You don't even remember doing this?
I don't.
Oh, I'm sure. I remember vividly. I could sit down and animate this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't put it beyond myself.
Just dropped a bomb in the bathroom. And I just totally pretended I didn't even hear that. Just ignored you. If security had come, I don't know who this guy is. I have no idea. But then I see this story from Mississippi, and it says, fart joke leads to bomb scare. Now, again, and it says, nothing clears a room like a fart, except perhaps a bomb scare. A 19-year-old man was arrested at a junior college after he allegedly wrote a note on a piece of toilet paper containing the word bomb. Could that have a connection to the fart story? Hopefully you didn't really drop a bomb in there for us.
No, I didn't.
So anyway, Hadley and his family contend he was just explaining the joy of flatulating in the library. Quote, he was in the restroom doodling on some toilet paper. We are away from the country, and he calls saying he's passing gas bombs, saying he passed a bomb in the library, talking about passing gas, etc., etc. Investigators wouldn't say exactly what he wrote, but they say it was no more explicit than, quote, I passed a bomb in the library, end quote. The guy was arrested and held on $20,000 bail. If convicted of threatening to blow up the school, he faces 10 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. His aunt says he earned straight A's at the junior college and was scheduled to graduate in May.
Oh my God.
See, we supposedly have freedom of speech in this country, but there
Do
are
we
limitations.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going to have to find a euphemism for
Yeah, we got to change some language there. Boulder, Colorado says here, man charged with groping during Alcoholics Anonymous session. You know, that's not totally unexpected, is it? Where would bad behavior present itself? How about a group where drunk people get together? AA meeting. Police have arrested a man, 64 years old. They say here that he persuaded at least two women that he would help them through one of AA's 12 steps.
Which one?
Yeah, that one.
There is a higher power.
12 step 69. It says it requires disclosure of information in a private one-on-one meeting. They say here the guy arranged a private meeting at a hotel with the victim and another woman. The victim told police during the meeting the man touched her inappropriately, and so she fled from the room and called a friend to pick her up. I hear all kinds of kind of like bad stories that come out of AAA or AA scenarios. Not AAA. I have AAA. AA scenarios. And it does make sense. You know, you get a bunch of people together who are trying to fend off their weakness for intoxication, and, well, next thing you know, somebody sticks a bottle rocket in their butt. Okay, we're coming up on a break. When we come back, we'll tell you why in Oklahoma City, an insurance department employee is in a lot of trouble. He did something really, really stupid. And what do we have here also? Oh, goodness. Yeah, here's one from Charlotte, North Carolina, just right down the road. What a man did to himself while riding a bicycle. Bike riders. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the Dark 30 Hour. We call this show Speaking on Strange.
just like an angel. Skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. Don't care for me. I wanna have control. I want a perfect body. I want a perfect soul. I want you to notice when I'm not around. You're so very special. I wish I was special. But I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here.
It's the Dark 30 Hour. This is the hour of the program when we deliver legitimate news stories that you might not hear so much about in the mainstream media otherwise. Not for children, not for the easily offended. Might want to just turn the radio off. Come back next hour for maybe something a little more family friendly. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And we're happy that those of you who enjoy hearing the fringes stick with us. The pinnacle of man's enlightenment, the pit of his dark depravity, illustrated here on this show this hour. What's that, Shelley?
Mostly the pits.
Yeah, this is when we get to the pits. I'm not sure when we have the enlightenment part tonight.
Yeah,
but there's a certain arc to it. It's a storytelling arc. You soar over, and we're now heading right down into the gutter. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. New story about the insurance department communication director. Apparently for the state is what it says here. He was given the choice of quitting or being fired. One of those situations. This man was making $56,000 a year and had had the job for about a year. Insurance Department Communication Director. Now, apparently, every year there is an award that's given at a seminar on tornado preparedness. And it's called the Commissioner's Award. And so this gentleman, the director of the insurance there, sent a mass email out and literally said, the Insurance Commissioner's Award will be presented, quote, to the girl with the biggest blanks, end quote. Okay.
Oh.
I'm not even exaggerating. Not even. The girl with the biggest blanks. And everybody said, are you insane? Why would you write that sort of thing? And he actually chuckled and said, well, while he was typing this up, he recalled an episode of the British TV show Monty Python's Flying Circus. And he said in Monty Python's Flying Circus, there was a time when that phrase was used. And he said, quote, it just pops into my head. I typed this, I laughed, and then it didn't get deleted. I don't know what happened that caused me not to delete it at that point, end quote. I mean, how stupid is this guy? $56,000 a year in this economy, in a good state-oriented, you know, insurance. You can always rely on the
benefits.
Insurance scam.
Oh.
Presented to the girl with the biggest you-know-whats. So, obviously, he's out of the picture. Oklahoma City. Now let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Let's see here. Charlotte is, would you say, is it 2 hours from here, Forrest, an hour and a half? More like more
an hour and a half.
More like 90 minutes from Asheville. A man has been arrested in Charlotte. He is 36 years old. Arrested because he got into the habit of riding around town on his bicycle and giving ladies an unasked for peep show. He said that, you know, it was just something that he did for fun. He would go down the street. It says here, for example, February 5th, 2012, he rolled up beside a lady walking her dog, and he didn't just whip it out, though. You know what they say?
With a bone?
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I can assure you.
Forrest said that.
Yeah, Forrest said that.
Yeah, what kind of dog was this, man? That's scary. Just whipping your junk out in front of a strange dog and a strange lady on the side of the street.
There is a time and a place to whip your junk out, and that is not it.
33-year-old female victim said, you know, she was totally surprised when he did this, riding by on his bicycle. They asked her neighbor what she thought about it. Neighbor said, quote, wow, that's a hard pill to swallow, end quote.
Didn't he chafe?
And, I'm just reading it as it's printed here, by the way. What? Chafe?
Yeah.
I don't think people were worried about him.
Well, no, but, you know, I'm just curious.
It was in the Dilworth area.
Actually, Dilworth is a real nice area.
You're familiar with... Every time I bring up some twisted story about North Carolina, you're familiar with the specific community.
I mean, Dilworth is a neighborhood in Charlotte.
Yeah?
It's very, very upper class.
Not the kind of place where you'd expect to have a little hoo-ha.
You ever gone and ridden your bike there?
We'll talk about that off the air.
I think Forrest creates some of these dark 30 stories, yeah.
You want to ride home on my bike?
No. Thank you.
So the guy's been charged with two counts of indecent exposure and one count of public stimulation of himself. And they're trying to determine if he's responsible for several other similar incidents in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg area recently. They say that,
think?
You know, yeah.
So I'm thinking it's not totally inappropriate to heckle that guy as you're, you know, writing up the police report.
No, I think that's perfectly fine. And you know, that's Charlotte, North Carolina. Now we have this story from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The Redneck Riviera, right, Forrest?
Exactly.
The Redneck Riviera. You ever been to Myrtle Beach, Shelly?
No, I don't think I have been.
You did? There we go.
Yep.
We knew. Shelly has been so sheltered throughout her life. We just find example after example of things she needs to be exposed to. And... okay, listen to this. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Myrtle Beach, that's what, maybe a six-hour drive from here.
Yeah, you can do it in about 4.5 to 5 hours.
I haven't been there in many, many years. I'm sure it's built up enormously.
I was down there a couple months ago.
Really? Okay, yeah. So is it pretty big and booming and commercialized now?
It's probably about the same as it was a few years ago. I mean, there has been some building and stuff, but it's not exploding like...
Mm-hmm. Well, the Smoking Gun has reported that a man there has been arrested for prostitution first offense after he allegedly offered to perform a certain act or acts on two undercover police officers. They said that the guy apparently flashed his car headlights to get the officer's attention. That's the little code. It's a little flash, flash, blink, blink. And then he asked them about the size of their you-know-whats. And so anyway, they arrested the guy. Turns out the guy's 74 years old.
Ew.
Yeah, speaking of the economy, 74 years old. And they say that this is not as rare as you would expect. The oldest guy that they've recently arrested was a city council candidate, 83 years old, for doing the same damn thing. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I will tell you about what's happening in Cincinnati. And in Cincinnati, you can buy something really juicy for $425. $425. And, I read this, and at first I thought, oh, this must be one of these, like, freako stories. And it turns out what you can buy there for $425 in Cincinnati, Ohio, is so popular that up to 8 people a day buy it. 8 people a day. You ever been to Cincinnati, Ohio, Shelley?
No.
Yeah. Well, this, it has kind of a romantic twist to it. It's not that, sometimes I end the show and I'm like, oh, this is so sick and perverse. It's not that sick and twisted, but it's weird. We'll put it that way. You're listening to the Dark 30 Hour. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Dark 30 Hour, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. Hope you've enjoyed our program tonight. And remember that if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find an updated system that will allow you to get some of our podcasts more easily since we've been syndicated. And if you go to hauntedashville.com, you'll learn about the ghost hunts coming up in Asheville. All kinds of great tours, the Asheville Mystery Museum, so on and so forth. Here is a story from Cincinnati, Ohio. And it begins, apparently, 21 years ago. So 21 years ago, what this story says here is there were a bunch of pilots, independent pilots, that were hanging out, kind of, you know, talking about weird stuff that's happened to them. And obviously, they got onto the Mile High Club. Now, Shelley, you know what the Mile High Club is.
Yes.
For those who are listening who don't know what the Mile High Club is, would you like to give your description of that?
I would much rather hear yours.
You know what the Mile High Club is for us?
When two men, or
when a man loves a woman,
when a man loves a woman. And
good Lord, Forrest, you twisted. Okay, well, I don't know what airline you're flying, dude.
When a man loves a woman and they decide to take an airplane trip together.
Okay. Yeah, remind me not to fly with you again. So, okay, they're having conversations about the Mile High Club.
Much like this.
Yeah, and they start talking about daring each other about things. And one of the pilots apparently said to the other, you couldn't even get a couple to pay to go up in your plane and do that. Because they're kind of like cracking on each other's planes and stuff. And the guy says, yeah, BS. Well, believe it or not, this has actually now turned into an incredibly successful business. This particular I don't know if you call it an airline, but basically it's a Mile High Club plane that you can join in Cincinnati for $425. They say it's they're calling it Flamingo Air, where turbulence is expected. One of the pilots said, quote, I've had a high heel in my ear once, been shot in the back of the head with a champagne cork, and thank God we wear headsets, end quote. It reminds me of the old Abe Lincoln joke. You know that one, Forrest, right? Yeah, we'll let that one hang out there. You know the Abe Lincoln joke?
I'm not sure.
I better not tell that one on the air, but, yeah, you can email me if you want to know it. Guy says, quote, what goes on behind the curtain is no concern of ours. It's a matter of professionalism. Our customers expect that, but if I ever wrote a book, it would be great, end quote. They say it's really a booming business, as many as 8 flights in one day, and they have a monopoly. The only ones who do this in the entire U.S., they say, quote, probably 90% of the flights are booked by women. Sometimes they're trying to put a spark in their relationship. Some are trying to save their marriage, end quote. Says the plane used for the business is a Cherokee 6, and space is tight. So the pilot here is quoted as saying, people get very creative. The plane is so small that getting cozy is almost a must. And at the center of the aircraft, there's a cushioned love seat, champagne glasses, a box of chocolates. The rest is up to you. He says, quote, we play up the romance. It's not just the down and dirty, you know, let's get it on in an airplane. That's why we have the champagne and chocolates. You can even set the flight path if you want to go over mile high markers. If you love the Reds, you can hit a home run over the Great American Ballpark, score a touchdown over Paul Brown Stadium. But the only thing separating you from the pilot is a small curtain and his discretion. So the pilot's not supposed to know, you know, precisely what's going on back there. They say people are very conservative until they come on to the plane. And for one couple, a memory of a flight of fancy remained well after the one-hour flight was over. Quote, they had a wonderful time. That was in the summer. The next summer, they brought a little guy by and said he was conceived on the airplane. How about that? $425 in Cincinnati, Ohio. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. I thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, and Mobius. It's Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. Till next time, we'll be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter at the site, Twitter, etc. And tune in next week for a brand new one. You are commanded! Letters about to fall.